Welcome back to Consider This. I'm Melissa Idris, and I'm speaking tonight to Howard Lee, the State Assemblyman for Pasir Pinji in Perak. And we're talking about the politics in Perak. Now we have a new state government there. Let's talk a little bit about you were former State Exco for Youth, Sports and Human Development for Perak, previously part of the State Exco under Faisal Azumu. Now you're in opposition. I'm wondering what that would mean for the programs that you had in place, what this would mean now in terms of working with people you once worked under and now are in opposition to. How does that dynamic figure?
It's going to be challenging, but anything can happen, and anything that you can imagine has happened, and even beyond imagination has happened over the last few weeks. So let's put that aside. But I think fundamentally, the policies that were rolled out and has been agreed at the state government level, I think they were policies that were agreed by all, including the now Menteri Besar. So I think fundamentally, I think in order for him and his new government to want to go back on what has been agreed, he will have to answer for that. But what I do want to say is there was the portfolio under my charge had a few key, I would say, results area. One was a very inclusive and an extremely multi-pronged approach into youth development, whether it's through policy and also through engagement, but also through interventioning or intervening in terms of what youth needs.
Specifically,
let me give you an example. TVET education was agreed by the state exco that I was part of to be helmed under my portfolio. Specifically under one agency called Pusat Aspirasi Anak Perak. And the focus was very much so in line with the federal government then, which was to work with government to essentially create a platform for government to be working closely, not necessarily just with educational institutions, but also with industry players, where we want to place people to be trained rather than training people to be hopefully placed. So essentially, the direct first port of call is to engage industries. So for them to be hired to be trained.
All right. So crucial component for TVET, for
absolutely. Sure. Absolutely. I'm a TVET professional myself. I've never been to university. I'm a chef by trade. And I would like to think that I understand that. And that was fundamentally why the portfolio was put under my charge. A lot of work has been carried out over the last few months. And you know, we've set up a special committee, a special task force to facilitate this dynamic of working educational institution, industry players, as well as government in realizing this. Now, with the new government that he has formed, with whoever the new exco is going to come in, we don't know what's going to happen, but that will fundamentally be one thing that I will be focusing on as opposition to ensure that agenda continues, because there is no other ways that you can see it could be run.
Okay, I want to talk a little bit about how DAP is addressing, you know, rumours surrounding DAP's involvement in toppling the Menteri Besar and his administration. I mean, there's been a lot of speculation. I think there's a lot of gossip mongering. How have you dealt with that kind of backlash or addressing rumours so that it doesn't fill a vacuum of silence?
Okay. As you said, there are rumours and there are a thousand and a million and one rumours out there. And there are certain ones that has to be addressed and there are some that are just purely rumours.
Well, I think it's only difficult or it needs to be addressed if it can jeopardise a working relationship in the state. If it means that it's, you know, you're unable to carry out social programs, programs that you talked about a little bit earlier, then it becomes imperative to address these rumours.
Oh, absolutely.
Right?
Yep. The DAP at the federal and the state level has come out countless times to say that there has never been any between the lines or expressed directive to remove and or change the leadership of the state government.
Okay.
We've come out countless times to say that. However, the fear-mongering as well as rumours come out. We can't stop people feeling threats onto or that are brought onto by rumors. So perhaps there is something that we have to address in the long term, how to counter certain, to a certain degree, fake news, how to counter rumors, and how to perhaps drive more, how to drive more discipline within the party so that certain personal statements do not get taken as party stand.
Okay.
And of course, you know, being a politician, I have to thread very, very carefully here. But fundamentally, I think discipline is one. Number two, to pick and choose our battles. Number three, to ensure that the what needs to be done, i.e. to bring the best policies onto the fore through government or in opposition, is the number one paramount goal that we strive for. And fundamentally, some of it may have to come down to discipline.
Okay, all right. So a couple of really interesting things that you brought up here, and we've got a couple of minutes before break, but I do want to touch on them. So you talked about communication discipline, right? Communication seems to be an issue of the Pakatan Harapan government, a lack of communication or a lack of coherent communication strategy. And this seems to be something that you're reflecting on through DAP as well. Have you learned any lessons about communication and the lack of discipline in terms of communication in DAP?
I think it's two-pronged. Number one, empathy. I think one of the key problems, I can only speak on behalf of the DAP, is that when you are so focused on delivering something, things that has been agreed at the state cabinet, you forget that there is a certain degree of politicking that needs to happen to get buy-in, to get agreement. And this, I think the disconnect may not necessarily be between Harapan component parties, but the disconnect between those who are in government and the grassroots, those who are in government when and the people you're trying to affect policy changes for.
Okay.
I think these are all bridges that we have to build. And the problem lies upon, let me
sure.
just finish
mm-hmm.
this. We live in a nation and a society of echo chambers. Echo chambers that have no bridges connecting in between these echo chambers. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we're talking about between political elites and political grassroots, between common man and women on the ground with people who are within the political grassroots. And it's not just that, between ethnic echo chambers, Facebook echo chambers, Twitter echo chambers. All these echo chambers, if we were not to address the lack of a bridge in between, this is a civilizational problem that no one has a solution yet, but we as a nation at least need to start doing that. And Harapan is going to try to address that,
okay.
at least internally first.
All right, let's take a quick break and we'll be back in just a couple of minutes. Don't go anywhere. Stay tuned.